You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Congressman Glenn Grothman joins the show for a look at his congressional priorities, his reaction to Wisconsin's primary elections, and his thoughts on voter ID.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news, the Wisconsin News Roundup.
This week's primary saw big turnout for a spring election in Wisconsin and the first test of that new voter ID law.
Also in the news, a number of media organizations around the state are suing the State Department of Justice. Robert Menser joins us now for more on those stories. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
So, obviously, Bernie Sanders, Ted Cruz won Wisconsin's primary vote earlier this week, but how did the different parts of the state end up voting?
Sure. Well, you can see it sort of in the county-by-county map. On the Democratic side, it is a vast swath of Bernie Sanders counties. Only Milwaukee County actually went to Clinton. So a decisive win for Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side. The Republican side is a lot more mixed. There are a lot of the population centers went for Ted Cruz. That's Milwaukee and the suburbs, at Green Bay, Madison, Oshkosh, Eau Claire, Wausau all went in the Cruz column, some by a larger margin than others. And then the entire north and most of the west of the state did go to Trump. Of course, those are very much more, more sparsely populated counties, so it doesn't do as much good. But if you look in the map, you can see a very clear kind of geographical split in the Republican Party.
And looking at the state Supreme Court race, there Justice Rebecca Bradley defeated Joanne Kloppenburg. How did that end up breaking down?
Sure. So Bradley had a pretty handy victory in this race. It was not as close as I think that that some folks, especially on the liberal side of the spectrum, hoped and predicted. There were multiple factors that led to this, but I mean a big one is there was this exciting, very contested Republican presidential primary going on, and there was a lot of turnout on the conservative side. Rebecca Bradley is a conservative justice. Also, though, there were a lot of Democratic primary voters who did not vote in down ballot races. So there were a number of from the Democratic side of the aisle look like missing votes for Joanne Kloppenburg. And Kloppenburg, I think, especially struggled to get votes in Milwaukee, in Milwaukee County, which is an area where a candidate on the left side of the spectrum needs to get a lot of votes to counteract some of the more conservative rest of the state.
You mentioned the turnout there, and yeah, it was record-breaking. Do you have a sense of why Wisconsin turned out the way it did to vote on Tuesday?
Come on! How could you not vote? You got to vote. It was so exciting, right? And because both on the Republican and Democratic side are alive and contested, and interesting races. I think that there was a lot of incentive to get people out. And I mean, it was what do they say? It's the highest turnout since 1972. That's pretty good.
Right. And that wasn't the only thing going on. The turnout. This was also the first trial run of Wisconsin's new voter ID law. Do you have a sense about how that played out at the polls?
To some extent, we're waiting for some data. Governor Scott Walker and Republicans are claiming victory for voter ID. Walker tweeted that the biggest turnout shows that the voter ID works. It was easy to vote, hard to cheat. But of course, it wasn't really easy to vote for everyone. We had, we had a reporter in Stevens Point who talked to students who were in a line that took them more than 2 hours to register. And there were long waiting lines throughout the state, even in Rib Mountain, sort of in Wausau's backyard here where I am. It's not a densely populated area. It's not an urban area, and there aren't a lot of 18-year-old first-time voters, and there still was a wait of over an hour. So it's I think that folks on the sort of on the left side of the spectrum or just opponents of voter ID say that policy was driving a lot of these long waiting times, and that ultimately that does have the effect of discouraging people from participating.
And Rob, just briefly before we move on, I caught an article that you read about the winners and losers in this year's primary. And, you know, you started off saying, you know, kind of the circus has left town, the national spotlight that has moved on. But they did leave us with a gift, the phrase Wisconsin nice.
Yeah. Have you ever heard this phrase before about the last,
no.
last week?
Minnesota nice, yes, but not Minnesota so much Wisconsin nice.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm with you. It was this is like probably the weirdest part of a weird election cycle was all of a sudden the New York Times and the Washington Post and everywhere else were writing about this, putting in quotes this phrase Wisconsin nice as if that was an actual phrase that had an actual meaning.
It does now.
It does now, and I think the meaning is nice. I think we're nice people. Well, that's nice.
It's literal, maybe redundant.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking with Robert Menser right now, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. Talking with him to check out the biggest news stories this week. And another story that you're tracking, a number of media organizations are suing the State Department of Justice. What's happening there?
Yes. So I work for one of these news organizations. So I should say right away that I have no part in this lawsuit. I'm not a spokesman for these companies, and I only know what I read in the newspaper. But we did cover this story, and it really is interesting. This grew out of a case against a couple of brothers in Eagle River who are charged with securities fraud for a company. They owned a bunch of rental properties, and according to state prosecutors, they were lying to their investors and saying that they had these big cash reserves and that their business was going great, when in fact they were losing $18 million in 2007, $28 million in 2008, and they had $63 million in debt. So this is sort of, as the housing market was crashing. So, okay, so this is the charge against these brothers. They're charged with misleading their investors. Charges are filed, and then the defense attorney for the Eliason brothers comes out with a press release attacking the prosecutor's decision to bring charges and arguing basically that they didn't break any laws. He's the defense attorney. You would expect him to make an argument in their defense. In response to that, on March 4th, the state filed a request to a judge to issue a sweeping gag order to prohibit them and their attorneys from talking to the press or the public about the court proceedings. They said in their filing that they wanted to avoid tainting the jury pool. So USA Today Network Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Wisconsin State Journal, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, a whole bunch, others too, filed a lawsuit saying that this was an attempt to muzzle free speech rights, basically. So it's an interesting case on its own right, and it also raises the question of what are people allowed to say in public?
And what is the next step in that one?
So the Justice Department this week, just on Thursday, filed another. They filed a response, a brief, and they claim that the gag order that they're requesting is narrowly tailored, and that so there may be room for limiting the scope of that, or I don't know what. At any rate, the next step is that there's a court hearing next week, and we'll see what comes of that.
And lastly, Robert, a historic vote in the city of Ephraim, this is a town in Door County, on whether or not to remain the last dry municipality in the state. What happened?
That's right. Yeah, good news. This is the biggest election news of the week, right? The good people of Ephraim won't have to go all the way to Sister Bay to buy their beer anymore. This is the last municipality that didn't allow alcohol in Wisconsin has been dry since the day it was founded in 1853. But the voters, by a huge margin of 127
wow.
to 98 votes, total votes, approved a referendum that will allow them to sell, like a convenience store to sell beer. And then there was a second referendum that could even allow the establishment of a tavern.
So that's a big change in Ephraim. That used to be how you knew Ephraim. You would say that's the dry one.
That's right.
It was beautiful, beautiful place as well, but that was what made it stand out in Door County.
That's right. And there was I saw a sign from the campaign that said, vote no on Proposition 2, save Ephraim. Save Ephraim. So I guess that's something has certainly changed.
Robert, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Now, storytelling editor Robert Mensah recapping the biggest stories from around the state this week for our Wisconsin News Roundup.